Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life, Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today again from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Daniel. I'll be beginning with the passage listed as being chapter 10. My problem is that these last three passages, as they are aligned in the book of Daniel, they flow one into the next. That designated as chapter 10 into that designated as chapter 11 into that designated as chapter 12. They just flow one into the next. Also, the first of those three passages and the last of those three passages are comparatively brief, and the one in between is long. And where to end this message and begin the next one is my difficulty. So I am not certain how I shall deal with that, but I will begin with the first passage that listed as being chapter 10. In the book of Daniel, the prophet in the Old Testament. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes, and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his mouth, the voice of his words, like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. And stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken, such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. So returning to the beginning of this passage of Scripture, we have moved on from the previous king. The previous passage was during the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. God Almighty brought that into existence, the overthrow of the Babylonian Empire. After children of Israel, beginning with Daniel and his brethren, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and the other brethren that were taken from Jerusalem, during the third year, approximately, of Jehoiakim, the evil King Jehoiakim, that began a 70-year span of captivity, of desolations of the Holy Land, the glorious land, the pleasant land. And now we are past the time of Darius, who was 62 years of age when he took the Babylonian kingdom. Now we are into the reign of Cyrus or Cyrus, king of Persia. This is the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. Interestingly enough, this passage begins differently, curiously, to my way of thinking. And yet, it's also the way that the previous or preceding passage began, with a preface. And that is, it's not clear whether Daniel is writing during the first verse. In the third year of Cyrus, or Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. it absolutely sounds as if it is written as if someone else is writing this about Daniel, but only for the introduction. It describes Daniel. It names him. It says that he understood the thing. And then immediately it launches into Daniel speaking. So whether Daniel was using a scribe or otherwise, beginning with the second verse, we have Daniel speaking. But we are told to begin with that a thing, it doesn't say a vision up until the very end of it, the very end of the first verse. It begins, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing. The word thing, the extremely generic, non-specific, non-descriptive word thing is used three times about this. He understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. We finally get to what it is. But we are told the time appointed was long. There's going to be a long period of time before the fulfillment of the vision in its entirety. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning. I, Daniel. Not somebody talking about Daniel. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks, 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. This is during the kingdom of Cyrus, king of Persia. Daniel was captive, if you will. His captivity was an unusual captivity, but nonetheless captivity, during a great span of the Babylonian Chaldaic Empire kingdom, 70 years. And then he served Darius, the king of the Medes, who took the kingdom from the Babylonians. And now he is serving Cyrus, or Cyrus, king of Persia, in his third year of reigning. So there are the 70 years, but prior to that, there's the matter of what age was Daniel when he was taken. He and his brethren, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and all of the other brethren taken from Jerusalem are described as children, but they were in point of fact young men, as the fuller description makes clear. And also as what transpired so shortly after they arrived in Babylon makes clear. In all likelihood, as I've mentioned before, Daniel was approximately 20 years of age when he was taken into captivity, give or take. Could have been as young as 18, possibly the end of 17, moving on into 18. But in all likelihood, he would have been 20 or older. 20, 21, 22, 23. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, he's been in captivity for 70 years. So that would be approximately 90 years. I know I managed to mangle that in the last program that I spoke of this concerning. I had it right, and then I reversed myself. So he was in captivity for 70 years in the Babylonian kingdom. So approximately 20 when he was taken captive, then 70 years serving the kings of Babylon, makes approximately 90 years of age. And now the kingdoms of Darius the Mede and on into Cyrus or Cyrus the Persian. So he should be, by all rights, he should be somewhere between 95 and 100. He could be more advanced than 100. But he couldn't be much less than 95. But there undoubtedly are some people who imagine that Daniel is still eating pulse and drinking water. That's not the case. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. That is not a pulse and water diet that he is fasting from. It just isn't. There was a period of time that he found it necessary to eat that incredibly simple diet in order to keep from being defiled with the food and drink of the king of Babylon. Perchance the food and drink is different now during the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Very possibly. But in any case, his dietary regimen has changed. And again, he is in what most people would consider to be old age or advanced old age. There are brilliant denominations, Protestant, Christian denominations in the United States of America, that insist on their pastors retiring at predetermined ages, maximum ages of service, such as, and when I say service, I'm not talking about how long they have served, but what their age is, arbitrarily determining 55 years of age as maximum age. How they came up with these things. I mean, absolutely, positively, they are copying the Harvard Business School. It's the only place you can get ideas as stupid as that. But anyway, Daniel, he's going on 100 and serving God mightily. So much so that I am teaching from his words of more than two millennia ago. Words given to us by Daniel when he was about 100 years of age. Words that were given to him by God Almighty. In the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, not to be confused with a beryl, like a wine barrel or something. This is the precious stone, a beryl or beryl, or however you prefer to pronounce it. And his face as the appearance of lightning. His body also was like the beryl or beryl, and his face is the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire. and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. This is incredibly similar to how Jesus Christ is described in the revelation of God the Father to God the Son to his angel to his apostle John, the beloved disciple. Extremely similar, but not the same. Curious, too, he's described as his face being as the appearance of lightning and his eyes as lamps of fire. And you would think, well, or maybe you wouldn't, I would think that lamps of fire would not show up particularly distinctly on a background that was akin to lightning. But anyway, that's the description we're given. It's a rather remarkable description. And when I say it is very similar to that of the description of Jesus Christ, I'm referring to the first passage in the Revelation of St. John the Divine. And again, even though it is very similar, it is not the same. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And that voice was a great voice, as of a trumpet. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Son of Man, Son is capitalized. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, as compared to lamps of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, as compared to his arms and feet, like in color to polished brass. And instead of his voice being like the voice of a multitude, it is a great voice, as of a trumpet. But then it describes his voice again, his voice as the sound of many waters. The voice of a multitude. The voice as the sound of many waters. Very similar, not the same, but very similar. And it's not to say that the greatest of the angels of God may not have, in point of fact, been rather similar in some respects of appearance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it describes his garment merely as saying a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. It doesn't say linen, but linen is always used in descriptions here with regard to these highest and mightiest in the kingdom of heaven. So it is safe in this case to assume, deduce, that this is a garment of linen. But in the description in Daniel, it said he was clothed in linen and his loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. Whereas here it says that he was girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So certainly different placement of the gold, but there is gold. And there is more in the description of Jesus Christ in the Revelation. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. The sun shineth in his strength as compared to lightning. Great similarity. Which is not to say that this one whom Daniel refers to in this vision, whom he describes as being a certain man, it's not to say that it's necessarily Jesus Christ. However, there is remarkable similarity to the description in the Revelation. Then the next sentence, the next verse, very interesting. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. This is so similar to what we are told by Paul concerning his conversion on the road to Damascus. We are given two different conflicting accounts by Saul, Paul, separated by a great many years. But this is in keeping with them in that the men saw not the vision, a great quaking fell upon them. They fled to hide themselves, or they fell and what have you. It's also a bit similar to the matter of the Roman soldiers who were guarding the tomb that Jesus was entombed in. A great quaking fell upon them when there was the earthquake and an angel appeared there. But Daniel says, therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Now, I don't know about that word comeliness. I don't know how accurate that word is. It could have been, you know, it might, to me, it would make more sense, knowing as little as I know, would make more sense for it to say something like appearance. But he says comeliness here. Apparently he does. That's the word we have. And here's a man who is almost assuredly somewhere between 95 and 100 years of age. I don't know about you, but I cannot picture describing my appearance at that age, if I were to live to that age, as comeliness, unless my appearance changed dramatically for the better between now and then. Okay, it just doesn't fit me, but Daniel says this, and I'm not going to argue with him about it, but it is remarkable because he had to be approximately 95 at the youngest, more likely approximately 100, and he could have been going on 105. So it's a little bit curious, but I retained no strength. There remained no strength in me. Very interesting. It's almost as if he is fainting away. He is completely overwhelmed by this experience. It's so extraordinary that it physically weakens him. As was described in previous passages, the passage described as being chapter 8, the very ending of that, it said, "And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it." He fainted. He literally fainted away. And he was sick for a number of days. It had that effect on him. It was that overpowering. Daniel was not a weak man. He was no centurion. He was no soldier. He wasn't one of the silver shields of Alexander, but he wasn't a weak man. But again, he's in advanced age. Advanced age. Now, at the time of that passage, that was the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar of Babylon. So he was, you know, some amount of years younger, 5 to 10 years younger at that time. But still, you know, going on 90. But here, it has this overwhelming effect on him. He's not a man who's given to emotional weakness. How do I know that? You know, am I just, you know, just assuming that, imagining that? No. Let's go back to the very beginning of his captivity. The king of Babylon sends forth the captain of the guard, Arioch, to execute all of the wise men in the kingdom. And instead of confining it to the wicked wise men, the soothsayers, the false prophets, astrologers, Chaldeans, magicians, instead of confining it to them, he stupidly, errantly gives the command in such a non-specific way that Arioch goes forth to slay these very young men that have been there for a very short time and who aren't even supposed to be brought before Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, until they've been there for a full 3 years. But throw that out the window, execute them too. Not for their failure, but for the failure of all of these others. These false wise men. How did Daniel respond? Did he faint away? Not hardly. He stood up to the captain of the guard, who was a mighty man. There's no way on earth Arioch was chosen, selected, appointed to be captain of the guard in the king's palace if he were not a very, very mighty man. And he had other men with him. And Daniel, young Daniel, stood up to him and said, "Why is the command so hasty?" And it goes on, you know, I will provide the dream and the interpretation. And again, it's a wee bit unclear, but It is apparently Arioch actually took Daniel, had to do so in order to put a stay to that, took Daniel before the king Nebuchadnezzar, who was in a rage. Daniel had him do that, and he spoke to him such that he caused this horrible tyrant, despot, king to wait. Only an incredibly strong, spiritually strong, morally strong, courageous young man could have done that. But here, yes, he's up in years, but we are given this indication that he is aging incredibly gracefully. His comeliness was turned into corruption. So he's aging incredibly well, unbelievably well. And yet all of his strength is taken away. He retained no strength, yet he heard the voice of this angel's words, or of Jesus Christ's words, whichever was the case. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. In a deep sleep. He fell into a deep sleep. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved or beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. Unto thee, this exceedingly mighty angel, or Jesus Christ. Unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. No longer asleep, he stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, not from the first day that thou didst set thy mind to understand, not from the first day that you attempted to figure this out by strength of your intellect and knowledge, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart, thy spirit, to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God by fasting and prayers. And as it describes him in a previous passage, sackcloth and ashes, in the immediate preceding passage, which was in the prior kingdom of Darius, the king of the Medes. He said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. It didn't take the 3 whole weeks, the 21 days, for Daniel to be heard. He was heard from the first day. But this exceedingly mighty holy angel, or Jesus Christ, did not come to him until the end of the 3 whole weeks. Or later. How it's described, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And then he says, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. It doesn't tell us whether that is the 22nd day, but he has fasted and prayed for 3 whole weeks. So it could be at the very end of the 21st day. It could be on the 22nd day. Could be after that, but seemingly would not be. Seemingly it would be right up hard against it. I am come for thy words. Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart, thy spirit to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. I don't know about you, but hopefully you have had an experience during your Christian life in which you are accustomed to some degree of being heard by God, of receiving answers to your prayers. No, not those idiotic non-answer excuses of answers that various hireling ministers have so popularized. Namely, oh, well, no is an answer, and maybe is an answer, and later is an answer, and I'll get back to you on that is an answer, and all that nonsense. No. Those may pass for answers in carnal, secular society and what have you, and just regular life experience. But communicating with God, God failing to fulfill your prayers is not an answer. It's just not. And some people may find it comforting to think so. But it is not an answer. Imagine yourself. You're in Ukraine. And there's a convoy of Russian armor coming at you. And they've got their ground-to-ground rockets and so forth. And they're about to blow up your little town. And you pray to God for deliverance, and God doesn't give you deliverance. Do you want to call that an answer to prayer? Do you really? Are we that intellectually devoid of understanding? Are we that intellectually dishonest? Well, a great many ministers are. A great many Christian teachers are devoid of intellectual honesty. and godliness. Now, I am sorely lacking in terms of godly wisdom of God's mysteries and in terms of ability to do all manner of things I would love to be able to do to help people. But I am not in the same boat with those hireling ministers. Thanks God. Thanks be to God. But he goes on to say, these are the words from this mighty angel, or Jesus Christ. And if it is a mighty angel, then it is reasonable to believe that the words were given to the mighty angel by Jesus Christ, given to Jesus Christ by God the Father, as was the case in the Revelation, as was the case in the Gospels. And if instead of it being a mighty, mighty angel, it's Jesus Christ, again, the words given to Jesus Christ by God the Father. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, the kingdom of the Medes and Persians that is now headed up by a king of Persia, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. Jesus Christ is described as being the prince of the kings of the earth. There are any number of descriptions of Satan. Satan, the devil, that great dragon, that old serpent, or that great serpent, that old dragon. But the father of lies, who came only to steal and murder and destroy, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. I don't know who that is referring to. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. It's a kingdom. A king is over it. So the prince, is this referring to Satan? I don't know. There are brilliant theologians who know, but I don't know. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. 1 and 20 days. Just like Daniel fasting, making supplications for 3 full weeks. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael or Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings, plural, of Persia. One in 20 days. So is this why he did not come to Daniel until after the 3 whole weeks were expired, even though his words were heard the first day? Perhaps. But then this, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. What does that mean? Withstood me. What does that mean? Resisted me. At least that. But it doesn't sound like warfare is being talked about. Oh, brother, it's undoubtedly spiritual warfare. Well, that's nice, but it doesn't sound like warfare is being referred to, does it? Maybe it does to you. It doesn't to me. But this mighty angel or Jesus Christ states, Michael, one of the chief princes. He doesn't say the chief prince. He says one of the chief princes came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. I'm going to come back to this. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. In the previous passage, the man Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, the mighty angel Gabriel, we are not told whether he is one of the chief princes. But Michael or Michael is one of them. And the only other one we are told the name of, the only other angel we are told the name of throughout the Bible is Gabriel. And he is assigned only the most exceedingly important and honorable of missions. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. How extremely similar to this time now that is years later during the kingdom of Cyrus, the king of Persia. That was during the first year of King Darius, the king of the Medes. Again, he is spoken of as being a man greatly beloved. He is told to understand the words that I speak unto thee. He is told that from the beginning, his words were heard. It is incredibly similar. Thy words were heard from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. This is Daniel's experience with God. Absolutely extraordinary. A man who is trusted, who is honored, who is beloved in the kingdom of God. A man who is aged. A man who is now either very near to 100 or beyond 100 years of age. What Were he a pastor in certain denominations, had he been a pastor in certain denominations in this country, he would have been put out to pasture many, many, many decades before. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Not what shall befall all the peoples of the earth. All the peoples of the earth between then and now and a little bit beyond now. But what shall befall thy people? Very specific. Oh, brother, we need to deprive you of your constitutional rights. It's for the greater good, for all of the people, including all of the non-citizens and all of the worshipers of Satan, and whether they happen to be in the Church of Satan or whether they happen to be Islamists or what have you. In this cult, that cult, the other cult, Zen Buddhists and everything else in between. For the greater good, for all of the people, be they citizens, be they born in America, be they born in Britain, be they born on the continent, or be they, you know, ones that arrived yesterday, all the people, everybody, the greater good for them, that dictates that we can deal with you in an unconstitutional way, an undemocratic way, non-parliamentarian way, whatever it is. God Almighty, his ways are very different. Exceedingly different. It is funny. I apologize for the tangent, but believe it or not, now again, you know, whether you happen to be in the British Isles or on the continent or South Africa or Taiwan or Australia, New Zealand, the British Commonwealth, whatever, this may not seem applicable, but it is that I'm sure this is true in those places too, is that in so many respects, non-citizens are afforded rights above and beyond the rights of citizens in the United States of America. It's absolutely true. I'm not going to go into it to talk about that. I do that in some other commentary programs, but not in this. But it's absolutely true. Interestingly enough, the corrupt, wicked, depraved, leftist, socialist, and when I say socialist, I'm including fascist and communist regimes, the Islamist regimes, all of the totalitarian regimes out there, they deal with people, you know, as they see fit to, you know, by design. Sometimes, some of these places, it's totally arbitrary and capricious. But more often than not, there is a method to what you could call their madness, a method to their wickedness, a method to the wickedness of Russia's Pharaoh. It's not just arbitrary and capricious. It's by design. It is planned. It is premeditated. And it is by design. And yet, of course, people are supposed to believe that this earth wasn't designed and people weren't designed. It was all by accident. But I digress. God Almighty deals with individual people, families, tribes, nations, kingdoms, at times very specifically and individually, at other times the same as he deals with others. Here he speaks to Daniel, "Now I am come to make thee, Daniel, understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days." Well, Daniel has been captive, a VIP captive, but captive, in the Babylonian Empire for 70 years. Now he is a VIP in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, and he has been for 5 to 10 or more years. God is not referring to all of the people of the empire of the Medes and the Persians that stretches from Ethiopia into India. He is not. He's not referring to the peoples of 127 provinces stretching from Africa into India. No. "I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people." Oh, well, brother, you know, you're a resident or a citizen of the United States of America or of Canada or of Britain or of Europe, the European Union, you know, or whatever. Thy people, you know, we have to have unity, right? So it's everybody. No distinction except for preferred groups. Such as this group matters. But no. "I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days." No, this is not a reference to a cult that was fashioned by Satan in the United States of America long ago. No, it is not that. This is reference to the times that are coming very soon. And the people that are referred to here, thy people, Daniel was of the kingdom of Judah. Thy people could be, reasonably would be, referring to the kingdom of Judah. The kingdom of Judah meaning the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. However, could be referring to all of the 12 tribes. Oh, brother, one of those tribes, you know, ceased to exist. You know, the tribe of Dan. Nonsense. You get that from theologians that are too big for their britches and don't know what they're talking about. The 12 tribes are in the kingdom of God, in the eternal kingdom of God, those whom are counted among the elect. But thy people. If this was being said to the beloved disciple, John, brother of James, that would have a different context, different meaning, understanding. This is being said specifically to Daniel, who has been in captivity, in exile, in whatever you want to call it, for going on or exceeding 80 years. The people whom he views as being his people. That is not the people of the empire of the Medes and the Persians. It is extremely much more specific than that. And when he, this mighty angel or Jesus Christ, had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. I became mute. He didn't just hold his peace, as might be described. He didn't merely refrain from speaking. He became incapable of speaking. Literally. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men plural, not capitalized, touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me straightway, there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Again, an absolutely overwhelming experience. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. If this were merely a man, how did he miraculously appear? But more importantly, how did he strengthen him? All of the strength was taken out of Daniel's being, Daniel's body. So how is it that this one who is described as, you know, the appearance of the sons of men, how is it that he strengthened him? It's rather curious, but beyond that, Daniel said that he was strengthened. Daniel tells us that this one that was like the appearance of a man, just touching him, strengthened him. And this one with the appearance of a man said, O man greatly beloved, or greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. This is not like some minister in some church declaring to this person or the congregation, be strong, you know. And then they, of course, respond to the charismatic words, and they are strengthened by that, you know, emotionally for a moment. No, it is not that. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. He didn't imagine that he was. He was strengthened. And he said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. The prince of Persia, the prince of the kings of Persia. the prince of the kingdom of Persia, who withstood him for 1 and 20 days, withstood him, resisted him. Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. Oh, brother, that is spiritual warfare, obviously. Yeah. Well, obviously, you believe that claptrap. But this, this is not what is, what passes for spiritual warfare. This is not the celebrations and ceremonies and dancing about and so forth in the charismatic churches and Pentecostal churches of this nation and the free nations that passes for spiritual warfare. Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. Again, whom is this prince of Persia? Is this Satan? As it would seemingly be, but not necessarily. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Not the king of Grecia, the prince of Grecia. Again, when the term prince is used, it's confusing, at least it is to me. And again, I know to any number of illustrious theologians it would not be, but to me it is confusing. Jesus Christ is referred to as the prince of the kings of the earth. And so when we are told about the prince of the kingdom of Persia and the prince of Grecia, it would seemingly refer to the supernatural power behind these kingdoms. And when the kingdom of Grecia is described, Alexander comes on the stage. He is described in such a way that there is seemingly supernatural power attributed to him, given to him. But when I am gone forth to fight with the prince of Persia, the prince of Grecia shall come. The prince of Grecia overthrew the prince of Persia, if you will. The Grecian kingdom under Alexander overthrew the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. In the scripture of truth. Not false scriptures, such as various cults choose to elevate. I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael or Michael, your prince. I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And it flows directly into the next passage, which is referenced as being chapter 11. I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael or Michael, your prince. This one that is speaking to him is the one that we are introduced to at the beginning of this passage, who has this remarkable appearance and remarkable voice, And this description of him is remarkably similar to the description of Jesus Christ in the revelation of John. The revelation of God the Father to God the Son, to his angel, to his apostle John. I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And it leaves us hanging there. It goes, it's a cliffhanger, and it takes us right into the next passage. Daniel didn't do it that way. No. Men, godly men, divided this up, divvied this up into these chapters. But there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael or Michael, your prince. None that holdeth with me. What does that mean? It would seemingly mean, there is none that understands, that is on the same level with me, other than Michael, your prince, or Michael, your prince. And yet, he has previously described Michael, or Michael, not as being the chief prince, but one of the chief princes. So how many are there? And when he says chief princes, they are angels. Or one is Jesus Christ. One of the chief princes. He could be one of the chief princes. And Michael, or Michael, one of the chief princes. And perhaps Gabriel, one of the chief princes. And if there are other chief princes, well, they're not named in the Bible, as this one is not named. Again, unless this one is Jesus Christ. But here, instead of describing him as one of the chief princes, as he earlier did in this passage, he describes him as your prince. Daniel's prince. There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. None that understands these things, perhaps. None that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, or Michael, your prince. Now, I'm going to fast forward to Revelation for this. For a description of Michael. Now, this is not the only description of Michael. But it is an interesting one, and it is in the passage listed as being chapter 12 of Revelation. And there was war in heaven. Oh, well, brother, that's spiritual warfare. Really? Spiritual warfare? Oh, okay. Well, you undoubtedly know. High and mighty theologians, you undoubtedly know. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. that doesn't quite align with what is normally referred to as spiritual warfare. But look how Michael is described. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels. Now, without going into that too much, without reading too much into that, Michael and his angels. Well, it could be just saying that he's in charge of them, couldn't it? He outranks them. He is mightier than these angels. And they are described as being his angels. Is it all of the angels that were not deceived and seduced and roped in by Satan? Is it all of those two-thirds of the angels, or is it only half of them? Or some other amount? We're not told. But Michael and his angels. Michael the archangel. Michael, one of the chief princes. He and his angels cast out of heaven Satan, the devil, that old serpent, the great dragon, and his angels, whom he seduced, corrupted, perverted, degraded, and caused to be exiled from heaven. After they warred against God in heaven, and they became demons. But following on from this, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, and that old serpent called the devil and Satan. The great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So briefly after Michael is called Michael and is described with his angels casting Satan and his angels out of heaven, so soon after that, we are told now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Well, Michael displayed considerable power, but it seems that there is a distinction here between Michael and Christ. I don't know for a fact that there is, but it seems that way. It seems as if Michael, this mighty, mighty, one of the chief princes, it seems as if he is not Jesus Christ, but I am not going to conclude that. But Michael is described as being Daniel's prince, your prince. This reference to Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people, Daniel's people, in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. But now it's for very few days. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Your people, your prince. Prince over thy people. Michael. As for the prince of Grecia, the Grecian kingdom, which overthrew the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, seemingly wielding supernatural power, that kingdom under Alexander lasted for a brief time. He died at a very early age, akin to the age that Jesus Christ was when he laid down his life on our behalf, but as the atonement, the only name given under heaven by which we may be saved. But the beast that is coming, following the rise of 10 kings, I have not been keeping close track of what all is going on this earth at this point in time, but I do believe those 10 kings have yet to rise. When they rise, and they shall arise together, they shall be followed very closely by the beast. And the beast is from the Grecian Empire, as it is described. As it is described in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, as it is described in the Revelation in the New Testament. Heavenly Father, holy God, merciful, mighty God, righteous, faithful, honorable, noble, only God. Holy God, have mercy on us. Open the eyes of our understanding. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Give us skill and understanding in thy word, thy holy word. Cause us to know that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and to be faithful, to be counted faithful, as Daniel was. And that it might be said of us that we are beloved. Holy God, Heavenly Father, take thy power to thee, rule and reign, accomplish thy will. Thy great purposes, plans, promises, and prophecies fulfill. Be magnified from the border of Israel throughout Israel and about and around Israel. Get the glory in Ukraine. Upon the Pharaoh of Russia. Save thy people. Save Ukraine for thy sake and the sake of thy people in Ukraine. Save thy people throughout this world, thy suffering church, thy persecuted church, from all of the pharaohs. those on this earth and those that are yet to come, that are near to come, that are near at hand, that are the worst there have ever been, and that shall report directly. The kings reporting directly to the beast reporting directly to Satan. And the other beast, the false prophet, and the image of the beast. Save thy people from these evils. Heavenly Father, blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord. In spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and account us worthy to stand together before thee at thy coming and to serve thee together forever. Have mercy on us, bless us, and use us by thy Spirit for thy glory. Undo all of the evil done to thy people. Show thyself mighty, all-powerful, and glorious for thy sake, on behalf of thy people, in Jesus' holy name, soon coming King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen.